Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
That's a bowel problem of immense proportions. What kind of life is that, Cindy? You gotta be into it, man.
And now, today's episode.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hey, how you doing? Good to be with you on this fine, upstanding day. May I say you're looking rather well today. I'm glad to see that rash on your face has cleared up almost nicely. It's just odd that in your high school yearbook, it claimed that your favorite body excretion was pus. That's odd. You know, when you read about somebody falling into a cage in a zoo, you know, they're falling into the open area where the lion is, and then they get mauled by the lion. Every once in a while, do you say to yourself, cool, good for the lion. What are you doing in the lion's pit anyway? You fell in because you wanted to get a picture of it? What is that? How did you get so... come on. That's like saying I was driving in the car and I opened the car door and I fell out of the car at 80 miles an hour and really hurt myself. Well, come on. Accidents happen. That's what people say when something occurs that you didn't want to happen. Well, accidents happen. Well, they kind of do, but they also kind of don't. I mean, you know, you got to guard against accidents. I sound like I work for an insurance company, don't I? Wish I did. For the amount of money I pay for insurance, I want someone to walk around with me all day making sure nothing happens to me. That would be money well spent. When's the last time you went to a library? And then after you answer that question, tell me why. I'm old enough to remember that when you went to a library and you wanted to look something up, you would get one of those little machines that lit up, a screen lit up with a bulb behind it, and it was called microfiche. And I never liked microfiche because I never understood what it was. I thought originally when I was younger, I thought microfiche were like small, tiny little tadpoles. I never liked the library. It always intimidated me. Everything about the library was wrong. Walking into that, it was like walking into a courthouse or some kind of an institution. Libraries were always like these big marble buildings, whatever I want to say. These austere buildings, like, you come into my doors, you shall be my slave. It was very intimidating. And then you walk in and everybody's like quiet. They're not saying anything. The only thing you're hearing is just mumbling in the background. And everybody that worked in the library was like, they were mutes. They were like all, quiet. Can I help you? I'm so mad at you.
you right now. I can't believe what a jerk you are. You're the stupidest person I've ever met in my life. You're a total moron. Shh.
It was weird. Every person that worked in the library looked like they had absolutely no social life. No social life whatsoever. They were handpicked physically to be people that you would never consider even talking to them outside of the realm of their job position. These people, and they all seemed smarter than you were. Like they had gone through every single book in the library. I've read them all. How did you get the job as a librarian? Oh, I read all the books in the library. That's all. I've read every single book. Some of them twice. Wow. And I know where every book is. Every single piece of information, every single book, I know exactly where it is. You're so much better than me. I know. And, of course, to work in a library, you have to wear glasses. Now, back then, when there were libraries, glasses were like a, look, they're wearing glasses. A little dorky. Now, glasses are, oh, that's hot. That's hot. You work in a library, that's hot. That's hot. Wow. It's just everything's flip-flopped on itself. It's all Trump's fault. And they had a catalog system called the Dewey catalog, decimal catalog system or something like that, where every book had a number attached to it, and it was supposed to help you find a book easier. Uh-uh. How about alphabetical order? Ever hear that? Ever hear of alphabetical order? I'm looking for, Gone with the Wind. That's under G. It's under G. We're under G. There's a lot of books that begin with G. Try G-O. Try G-O and then narrow it down to G-O-N. Then narrow it down to Gone, and you'll find that the selection isn't as big as you think it is. Alphabetical order. What do you do now other than Dewey Decimal System? What the fuck? What? Yeah, that was weird. My mother always used to say, why don't you just go down to the library? Why? What am I going to do there? Read? Could do that here. My mother thought that education in the home, when I was being brought up, this was in the year 1527, there actually would be encyclopedias in the house. There'd be a bookcase, and in the bookcase would be encyclopedias. And you could tell whether someone was rich or poor, because if you were rich, you had the entire encyclopedia. If you were poor, you only had volumes 1 and 2, and you could only look up things that went through the letter D. After that, we can't afford it. I'm sorry, I can't afford it. You got A through D. Just make sure everything you look up is like early on in the alphabet. Do all your book reports on things that begin with A to D. Because I don't think... If you choose something W, it's going to be a long time before you finish that book report. Yeah, that's the way that was. The funny thing was with encyclopedias, it's funny, millennials have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about. What's he talking about? What's an encyclopedia? A shaglopedia? Is that what it's called? What is that? I have no idea what he's talking about. What is that? Oh, man. Problem was, you would get an entire set of encyclopedias, and of course, you only got like 1 or 2 volumes every month or something, or every year. So you get the entire set of encyclopedia, and then you find out, well, all the information's changed. Now I got to buy another set of encyclopedias because now that's outdated. Oh, they had you there. They really did. My parents also said to me at one point in my life, well, they said a lot of things to me at one point in my life, but they said specifically, if you're bored, why don't you grab a volume off the bookshelf of the encyclopedia and just read it? Okay. All right. Look, I don't think you understand how this works. I'm a kid. I don't do those things. And I got news for you. When I'm an adult, I'm not going to do those things either.
Ron, why don't you educate yourself more?
Pick up a National Geographic every once in a while and read it.
No. People don't read that magazine. They look at the pictures. You don't understand. That's like Playboy for intelligent people. It's just the pictures, and they're extraordinary. But to read what goes with the pictures? Well, what are you talking about? Why bother? I got things to do. I got things to do. Our information is just crazy. And I always used to think that what was in encyclopedias was the gospel. It was the Bible of information. Don't argue with it. That is what it was. A panel of 200 historians all agreed this is exactly what happened in the past. It's in print. Therefore, now it's official. It is to be what happened officially. And that was my belief system. And growing up, that was really wonderful. There were definitive things. These are the definitive, this is the information, and that's what it is, and that's what we're going on. Now, there's no definitive information whatsoever. Everything on the internet is questionable. Donald Trump has turned every piece of data and information into false all of a sudden, unless he says it. Or he's heard it from somebody. Everything's on its ass now. Your head is your ass is your head. Your head is in your ass is in your head. There's no foundation. There's nothing. There's nothing. You can break the rules. If you have enough money, you can break all the rules. That's reality. Well, then, Ron, what is reality when you go on the internet? Whatever the first listing is, when you go on your search engine, your little engine of search, when you go to the Google machine and you type in a subject, whatever pops up on top, usually after the ads, is apparently the gospel. Everything else is questionable. You see, that's what we're taught to believe, but it's not the case. It's just the other one had more searches than the other. It's not necessarily reputable. But we don't know that, you see. We have a president that stands behind a pulpit with his little presidential seal paste on it. And he says stuff, and we're supposed to think, in his mind, that everything he says is actually true. When we know, through fact checks for the past 2.5 years, most of what he says is a lie. It's a manipulation. And he knows he's making it up. Because he says the opposite just 2 days previous. It's funny, but it's not. So what's the foundation anymore? What's our foundation? It's like building a house on mud. If it rains, your house is going to come down. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow with my foundation. Am I getting a little too deep for you today? Is this too much for you to handle? I think so. It's a little much for me to handle, to be honest with you. They say that little kids need boundaries. That's what turns a child into a successful human being, boundaries. And the children actually seek boundaries. They want boundaries. If there aren't boundaries, how do we know we're exceeding them? How do you know you're cool if you don't slip outside of the box? How can I slip outside of the box if I don't know what the box is? What are the boundaries of the box? Then I can play with it if I want to, stay within it, go beyond it, but I got to know what it is. Children need boundaries. We all know that. We were all children. We know in retrospect we needed boundaries. Otherwise, we'd probably be in jail by now or strung out on a curb somewhere. We need boundaries. There's no more boundaries. I don't know what they are. I don't know what they are. I have no idea. Anything goes now. Anyway, I've talked way too much. You haven't said anything at all. I've been doing all the talking. You've just been sitting there. So, I'll ask you, like, what do you want to talk about? What do you want to do? What do you want to do here? You want to go out to eat? You hungry? You want some pasta? Oh, I love pasta. Ooh, I love pasta. Pasta, pasta, pasta. It's the worst thing for me because it's just empty calories. Why are empty calories so wonderful? Here's something that that really bothers me. You're not supposed to eat a lot of sugar. Sugar is just awful for you. It's carcinogenic. It's awful. So people drink diet soda. They have artificial sweeteners so that they don't take sugar into their body. Then, of course, there's a report that's come out recently, and this is true, that the artificial sweeteners are carcinogenic. If you have more than two items of artificial sweeteners, more than two glasses of Diet Coke, your chances of cancer grow quite immensely. So goodbye to sugar, the taste of sugar, the substitutions for sugar, goodbye to sugar. It's been nice knowing you. I grew up with you. You were in everything that I liked. But now I must say goodbye. Bye, sugar. We had quite a relationship, didn't we? I ate everything that you were in. You were good stuff. You were wonderful to me. Just the taste of you used to drive me wild. The way that you danced through my ice cream and my soft drinks. You were the major part of my candy. Everything I licked, everything I touched had you in it, my little sugar. You came in so many different forms, powdered, cubed, just plain caney. You were my everything. When I was depressed and down, I would turn to you in so many different forms. And you would satisfy me and make me feel better about myself until I threw up later. When I was happy, I would celebrate with you through cakes and pies and fanciful little digs of life. But no more sugar. Now you are poison to me. We must part ways, and it will be difficult for me. I have no substitute for you. Chewing gum isn't going to do it. There are artificial sweeteners in that too. So what do I do now? What do I do now, sugar? You have left me abruptly. You have deceived me through an entire lifetime, thinking that you were good, something to turn to. And now I find that you're damaging, you're a negative influence on my body. This hearkens me to sadness. Goodbye, sugar. It is sad. It's very, very sad. But I continue. I go on. And thus, no more pasta for me.
Hey, this is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But you know me as the guy who runs the area's favorite Italian restaurant.
It's Headshots, Bobby.
Headshots. Thank you. Hey, do you like pasta? Of course you do. Then you gotta come to Headshots this month for Pasta La Musa.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Pacula.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta La Nusa.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Paducah.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Patchouli.
Nice. Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Potato.
Pasta Palooza.
Mr. Potato.
Back on track, Bobby. Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Fajol.
On the menu, but Pasta Palooza.
Patsy Cline.
No idea where that came from.
Pasta Canunza.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Cholula.
Pasta Palooza.
Jesus, just come out and have some goddamn spaghetti.
Headshots now open Tuesday through Sunday at the corner of Flange and Hassenpfeffer.
Sad. No more pasta for me. It's not the pasta has tons of sugar in it. It's that the carbohydrates, the empty carbohydrates, they break down to sugar, and thus sugar remains in my body once again. It's hit me from all sides. What am I to eat kale when I get depressed? I can't go on. I can't go on. This has been a horrible day. I must have some kale. Where is my kale? Oh my, it just doesn't do it. It just doesn't do it. This is a problem. It's huge. Wow. There's that little thing that you put on your finger and it spins like a fidget thing or a little nervous spinner or something. It does nothing but spin around. I don't know what the thing's called. I'm going to have to start buying those things. I used to play with paper clips when I got nervous. I used to take the paper clip and uncurve it and make it into a straight line, and then I'd poke myself with it, and realizing at a point that was absolutely ridiculous, I put the paper clip back into the shape that it originally was, and it never really went back into the proper shape, just some reasonable facsimile thereof. I don't know what I'm going to do without sugar, man. I really don't. I don't. I mean, I could have sex all the time, but even then, that gets boring too. Yeah, and you got to switch it up. I don't know. It's rough, man. It's rough. All right. My guest is a gentleman that has been with me so many times on this program. It's almost like every few months he's a guest on the show. Am I getting tired of him? I don't know. I don't know. But he does bring information. He is Chris Byrne, who is a toy guy. Chris Byrne has had a career in media and television forever. He's been on all the major talk shows, both on television, radio, you name it. And now his specialty is going to toy conventions and seeing what's coming up, what's new in the toy industry. If you have children, this is of great consequence to you. If you're a video gamer, this is of great consequence to you. If you're me, it's of no consequence whatsoever. Yet, I find it fascinating and interesting because the toy industry is like crazy, man. It is cutthroat. Toys, man, they're cutthroat. And I'll talk to Chris about that as well. He's standing on the floor of the Javits Convention Center in New York City, where for media and toy people only, this convention takes place. It's all the big toys that are coming up for the next year. They're planning now for Christmas. They have been for a while. It's kind of amazing because Christmas is so many hours away. Actually, it's not. It's like more than half a year away. It's like three quarters of a year away. So that's scary. All right, let's conjure up Chris. Oh, conjure up Chris. That sounds kind of interesting. I don't know what it means. Just conjure up Chris. I like that. I like that, Chris. Okay. Oh, man. I like allergies every day of my life. I'm getting sick of it.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, Chris. How you doing today?
I am good.
Great. Chris Byrne is the toy guy. We speak to him, I think, every day. No, I'm only kidding. there are so many seasons of toys. There's holidays for toys, and then there's birthdays toys, and always toys. And, man, you must go to more convention centers in the space of a year than anybody else.
Well, pretty much. I mean, we start the year in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Then I come back here. Then there's one in Nuremberg, Germany.
Wow.
Then in April, I go to Guangzhou, China, and gotta find the toys.
Yeah, I guess you gotta search the world for toys. Right now,
yeah.
I understand you're at the Javits Center in New York.
I am.
Excellent.
They the fair opens officially tomorrow, so I've gotten a backstage pass. A great company called Just Play has opened their doors up to us, and so we've been hanging out here. They've got all kinds of great stuff. They do, you know, Ryan's World. They do Spirit. Hair Dorables is a big hit. They've got a thing called PJ Masks, which has been a huge hit on TV. It's about these little kids who become superheroes when they put on their pajamas. Really super sweet. They've introduced this thing called the Seeker, which is a huge truck. It's about 3 feet long. All kinds of great play built right into that. That's going to be coming out next fall, so they're hoping that people will see it now and buy it for the holiday season. Stores will.
So this is pretty much the time of year when the products are developed for marketing for the holiday season.
Exactly, and it's also a time of year when people are trying to get things seen a little more broadly. There's a lot of games have started on Kickstarter. There's one we've been playing called What the Film from Lethal Chicken. That started on Kickstarter. It's now a nominee for a Toy of the Year award, and it's all about creating a film pitch. So you have a person, you have a plot and a place. You have to come up with a pitch, and then your friends vote on it. Really super silly. A little close to home for my friends in the entertainment business, but it's really super fun.
Now, what about technology? We always talk about that because everything's technology these days. Anything on the horizon for that?
So I think the great thing about technology, because today's 10-year-olds, believe it or not, 9-10-year-olds have never lived in a world without tablets.
Right.
So they really are looking for technology that integrates well with the play. They don't want the two separate play experiences. The Lego movie came out this year, and they've introduced a Lego Movie 2 Maker. So you can actually, you have toys that recreate what kids have seen in the movie, but then it's on a set, and you can use an app to make movies with it. So really, the technology adds to the play and makes it much richer for kids to create and share.
Pretty cool. And when we're talking about toys for kids, I mean, we're talking about all ages, kind of.
We are, and you know, we're talking about different. You know, the toy box has just gotten bigger. Arts and crafts continues to be really big. Crayola, which introduced colored crayons 116 years ago, they have a new line out called Scribble Scrubby Safari Oasis. They've had some Scribble Scrubbies out, but now they're doing sort of zoo animals and safari animals. They are sort of small white figures you can decorate with water-based markers, and then you can wash them off and start again. So it's a combination of creativity, collectability, and animals. So it's sort of the trifecta for little kids ages 3 and up.
Wow. Now, these convention centers not open to the public or just people in the industry? What is it exactly?
It's not open to the public. It's not open to kids. It's serious business. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm running around wearing a Godzilla mask from Jack's Pacific, so it can't be that serious. They've introduced
wow.
one that goes with the movie that's coming out later. That's about $24.99.
Wow. I know a person who used to be in the toy industry decades ago, and she said that it was like working for spy governments. It was so serious that there was really top secret stuff going on, and that was not a kid's game, so to speak.
Absolutely not. When I started in the toy business, I was in the creative services area of a toy company.
Yeah.
We were behind a locked door, and if you couldn't get back there, if you didn't have the code, you couldn't come back
wow.
and see us.
Isn't that something? So it's that good, and it's that serious. Now, for a list of some great ideas and some great toys, where would people go to find out what you're seeing?
Well, follow me on Instagram, the Toy Guy on Instagram. I'm going to be posting new stuff all week long as I'm here. And then after the Toy Fair, come see me at thetoyguy.com, and we'll have a roundup of everything we've talked about this morning.
Great. One last question. Is there any one item that you've seen here that you will see there that seems like it will be the blow-away product of the next holiday season?
Not yet. Where, you know, they have their fingers crossed and their bets placed, but we don't know that answer yet.
and they would all like to think they've got it.
Yeah, oh gosh, yes.
Okay. Hey, Chris, it's great speaking to you. We'll see you at the next one.
Thanks, Ron. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. Chris. Hey. Time is up for today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. I hope you join me then. Until that time comes, I wish you peace.